Greetings, radio friends. We're happy to come to you today in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, by the word of truth and by the Holy Spirit and by the grace of God. And may it abundantly bless your heart as we come preaching Christ to you. This program is sponsored by the Church of God of Resurrection Hope, a Church of God of Abrahamic Faith. We're located on the Walter Arney Road in Lenore, North Carolina. If you're in the area, we invite you to attend services and worship with us. The Sunday school is held each Sunday morning, 9:30. The morning worship service, 10:30, and the evening message is 7 o'clock. Could a million organs sounding forth the glorious melodies proclaim it? Could a million choirs in excellent singing tell the story of it? Could all the angelic host of heaven ride in the sky above us and make us understand the glory of it? Could all the lightnings and the thunders that ever flashed or roared put together into one super colossal flash and thunderous sound, would we ever understand it? Or if all the rainbows which ever brightened the heavens in their semicircle glory were all put into one and did shine forth in the splendor of the sun, could it impart to us the knowledge of it? Or if the very deepest of the oceans could show forth the unknown of its depths, could it by any means convey the glory of it? Or if a million suns shining in their brightness should shine on us for 1,000 years, could they ever convey the splendor of it? The splendor, the glory of what? The glory of a mortal man being made immortal, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. In the near future, the greatest thing in store for the church, the Christian, the body of Christ, is that glorious event that is to come to them. The ransomed of the Lord, the redeemed of Zion, as he comes to receive his own. Concerning our deliverance, we find in 1 Corinthians 15:42, it is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth earthy, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. What is the it spoken of here? So also is the resurrection of the dead. Paul here is speaking about the resurrection of the dead. First of all, it is sown in weakness. When we die, when we bury our loved ones, it is with absolute concrete weakness. We cannot help ourselves or them. It is sown in dishonor. What honor is there to corruption and death? It is sown a natural body. Now we're familiar with corruption, dishonor, weakness, natural bodies. We're told that from this corruption, this dishonor, this weakness, this natural body, the resurrection of the saints of God will bring them forth from weakness to power. Power beyond our evaluation, unlimited in Christ, from corruption to incorruption, to the degree of life forevermore, and raise not a natural body, but a spiritual body. The first man is of the earth earthy, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. To understand that we shall also bear the image of the heavenly is the greatest of mysteries, and yet it's very credible for one who understands and believes the truth of God. Paul, in explaining it, says, beginning in verse 51 of the 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, and we shall be changed." This is what we're talking about. This is so thrilling, and which we can never express the change in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, when the church is changed in that grand and glorious moment, living or dead, and caught up suddenly to meet Jesus Christ in the air. Nothing we have ever known in this lifetime can possibly describe our bearing the image of the heavenly, and is not to be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Paul explains, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." We note carefully here that Paul says we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Perfect, wonderful harmony. We find that it is at this last trump, in this twinkling of an eye, that corruption gives way to incorruption. Weakness yields to power, and the mightiest power, and the earthly image is changed to conform to the heavenly image. This is the coming of the Lord, when the church is caught up to meet Jesus in the air. A glorious transformation, a glorious and wonderful experience for those who are in Christ Jesus and who are ready. Now let us remember, the greatest change of all ages will take place at the coming of Christ, when he comes again in his glory to catch the church up to himself. Going to 1 Thessalonians 4:15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede or prevent them which are asleep." Note, we which are alive, and remember 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said, "We shall not all sleep," that is, all be dead. Those who are asleep or those who are awake will not either one precede the other, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We'll praise God. Note carefully also that Paul in Corinthians said, "We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound." Here we have the Lord himself descending with the shout, and with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ are raised from the dead. Paul says of the change, it's a moment of power, and he says, "We shall be changed. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, living and dead both together. So shall we ever be with the Lord." What an experience that's going to be when we stand upon the clouds of glory, having met Jesus in the air. Joys and thrills of all the ages. We'll never understand what that moment will mean to those who are in Christ when he returns, those who love the Lord. Suddenly, instantly, and quickly, the church will be delivered. Glory to God. One shout of command, one blast from the trump of God. Weakness will be delivered in power, corruption abolished by incorruption, and the natural body changed to spiritual bodies in power and glory. In this twinkling of an eye, the living saints on earth, no matter where they are or what they are doing, will, with those who are awakened from the dead, in a splitting instant and flash, be caught up to meet Jesus in the clouds in the air, caught away forever from corruption, weakness, sin, and death. What a joy and power that's going to be. No tongue can now describe it. Paul, in speaking of it, declares, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look also for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body." We sometimes talk in terms that seem to indicate that we will swap this vile body for our glorious body. This is not salvation exchange, but he did say to change. We shall be changed, he said. And he said, "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly." We know that is not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. We shall then be completely a spiritual body, bearing the image of the Lord from heaven. Such a glory for a mortal man is a hope brighter than the rainbows of this world, brightened by the sun shining upon them. It is a hope that is greater far than anything that we can ever hope to express. All we can say is that for those in Christ, it's going to be wonderful, glorious, precious, thrilling, and real. We're going to, like a flash of lightning, be changed, never to be subject to death or dying anymore, but to be spiritual bodies with life evermore. This change will be so tremendous that nothing of our world can give the description of which satisfies the imagination of the heart. The Apostle John said in 1 John 3:2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." This is not something we believe, but something the Scriptures tells us that we can know. "It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know." Yes, and what is it we know? We know that when Jesus shall appear, that is, when he descends with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, that at that very instant of his shout, we shall instantly and suddenly be made like him forevermore, and then we shall forevermore be with him. See him as he is, since he was glorified, immortalized, given life eternal. We too shall be like him, for just as we have borne the image of the first Adam, so we are to bear the image of the last Adam. The thing which we would use to describe it is more than joy, more than happiness, more than excitement. We bear the image of the first Adam all of this lifetime. It consummates in death. Or if living when the Lord comes, a wonderful, exciting, powerful change. When we bear the image of the second Adam, it will be for a lifetime, which will never terminate. But being like him, we can say, I'm alive forevermore. John then reminds us, and every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. The hope of being made like Jesus at his appearing, the bearing the image of the heavenly as your hope, is a purifying hope. It's the only hope of life beyond this veil of tears, is to be made like Jesus at his appearing. We know that John is saying, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. And he's very emphatic about this. We cannot presently describe nor understand the change to the degree of its magnificence. But this by no means does not do away with the subject at all. On the Mount of Transfiguration, we find the apostles with Jesus being transfigured before them, his raiment white as light, his face did shine as the sun. We're told that the righteous at the coming of Christ shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. John Revelation 1:14 describes the risen Lord as having his head and his hairs white like wool, white as snow, his eyes like a flame of fire, his feet like undefined brass as if they burn in a furnace, and his voice is a sound of many waters. This description leaves one without a perfect knowledge of what we will be, but it gives us some idea of something away beyond this mortal life on a higher plane than we ever expected through the grace of God. Hallelujah. And we who will experience this deliverance from death, pain, suffering, and sin, we're going to stand upon the clouds of glory with the Lord and shout the praises of God. We're going to sing the song, O death, where is thy victory? O grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? The greatest thought about the whole thing is that so shall we ever be with the Lord. To be with our Lord is more than tongue can tell. The delights of it are beyond compare in this present world. An eternal abiding place with eternal life. Who could ask for more? Someday, this Jesus, our Lord, is going to descend with a shout. He's coming as a thief, and suddenly, and from all places, from beds, cars, boats, planes, factories, schools, and stores, everywhere, the saints in a glorious twinkling of an eye will forevermore be taken up, immortalized, to meet the Lord and to be with him forevermore. To those who are not ready, there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Friend, today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. I invite you at this very moment to let the Lord Jesus Christ become your Lord and Savior. Call upon him. He will save you wherever you are. He that cometh to him, he will in no wise cast out. May God bless you is our prayer.